Brun Meager had wakened even earlier when the twins cried, as they often did, in the middle of the night. They should be sleeping through the night, the nursemaid said, but they hadn't done so more than one night in four since they were taken from Our Texas. And Brun had discovered, to her annoyance, that when they woke, she also woke, even if someone else was doing the feeding and cleaning. She used the time to exercise, the exercises she never skipped these days. By the time her maid knocked, she had already worked herself into a sweat and showered herself back to normal. In the mirrors of the bath, her face stared back at her, strange after nearly two standard years without a mirror. An older face, a harder face, but, in spite of everything, a face of memorable beauty. Something would have to be done about that, but not today. Today she would walk with her mother, her brothers, her older sister, in the funeral procession. Today, she would hold her head high in the face of the universe. They had forced her to bear their children. They could not force her to hide. Colonel Bydarlin had not slept all night. Organizing a state funeral had always been, would always be, a nightmare of protocol and endless complicated detail. But ordinarily, a state funeral was not mixed with a top-level security concern. Even when a head of state was assassinated, that usually ended the threat.
Only 23.87% of political assassinations in the past 500 years have been followed by subsequent assassinations.
But this was different. The other branches of the new Texas God-fearing militia had specifically threatened Lord Thornbuckle and his family, with additional threats to Hazel Takaris, the Rangers' wives and female dependents, and several members of the regular space service, including Admiral Vida Serrano. Fleet, Colonel Bydarlin thought, could protect its own. As chief of security for Castle Rock, his responsibility was the safety of the civilians, specifically those who would be present, vulnerable, in the funeral procession. His predecessor, Colonel Harris, was even now trying to explain why they had not taken sufficient precautions, why Lord Thornbuckle had died, and no one, not one single militia member or sympathizer, had been captured. He would have to assume they'd try again. He would have to assume that everything Harris had done was wrong, that Harris had missed something vital. Unless it wasn't the new Texas God-fearing militia after all. Bydarlin's head lifted, as if scenting game.
What if it was someone else? Someone trying to use the new Texas as a cover?
In that case, the funeral would probably go off without a hitch, which at the moment was all he cared about. Brun eyed her mother as they came out onto the porch, into the cold sunlight. Security, dark uniformed and obviously armed, hovered around them. Five cars, all identical, polished burgundy with black and gold trim, awaited them.
Five? Security. Four of them are drags.
Four would lay false trails, though since everyone knew where the funeral would be held, Brun didn't see how that would help. She could at least notice who was here and who had not been able to, or wanted to, come. No Lady Cecilia. Well, it was the Warren trials, after all, and she might not even have heard yet. Her sister Berenice, though, and her brother Abelard. No Rafa or Ronnie. Absurd how she missed them. Rafa's Aunt Marta Saenz, such a support to her father while she was missing. Her mother's report of that had been just a touch acidic. Had gone back to her own world as soon as Brun returned. No George. But of course, the odious George had his own critically wounded father to watch over. Of their own sept, her father's younger brother Harless and his son Kel, who didn't look to have improved from her last memory of him. A whole raft of Consulines, most of whom she didn't know well enough to put names to, and Venezia Moraline. In ordinary times, not that the death of her father would ever have been ordinary, Kevil Mahoney would have given the eulogy. Instead, it was her uncle Harless.
A fine man. A man with strong family loyalties to his children. And a man of great abilities who had perhaps not quite lived up to them.
Bollocks.
That was a great-great-uncle in the Barraclough main line. He took the floor next, praising Bunny the way Brun had expected him to be praised. That was the father she remembered. Generous, loyal, intelligent, capable. Others followed. Political friends, describing how Lord Thornbuckle's tactful but firm handling of the government had held it together when Chemtree abdicated. Political enemies, praising with delicate cuts at her father's occasional mistakes, and being so tactful in ignoring the obvious one that Bruin found herself the target of one covert glance after another. If it hadn't been for her, if it hadn't been for her idiot rashness, her father would still be alive and in power, and these sly critics would be silent. She glanced down at her mother's hands and saw the knuckles whitening the skin, though Miranda's face betrayed nothing. Guilt, sorrow, shame, and a deep, deep anger. It was her fault, in part, but it was not all her fault. Their maneuvering, their use of her misfortune and her father's death, that was their responsibility. She had been determined to go away, to change herself into someone else, and break the connection with the rash young Bruin who fell into captivity. But watching her father's enemies, enemies she had not known he had, at her father's funeral, that resolve weakened. Prima Bui sat embroidering a collar with a row of tiny green leaves and kept a sharp eye on her household. It was hard to realize that only a short time ago she had been Prima Bui in truth, Mitch's first wife and mother of 9 children, with a real household to manage, a household with a garden and weaving shed, with courtyards for the children and servants and tutors. Now she was Prima Bui on her new Familius identity card, because that's what Hazel had told them. And even Hazel didn't know that wasn't a name, but a title. She had been called Ruth Ann in childhood, long before she was any man's prima. But no one had called her that since her father died. And Mitch's last name wasn't Bui. That was his title. He was really a Pardue. So her name ought to be Ruth Ann Pardue.
Should I tell someone? It would not be fitting to be called Prima Serrano when that young woman becomes his first wife.
She knew that, even as she hated the thought of being second or third behind such a young thing. And what was worse, a heathen abomination who was actually in the military.
Prima?
She looked up to see Simplicity in the doorway.
Hazel's here, Mama. Prima.
Simplicity had never learned not to call her Mama. Prima wished again that Mitch had not made such a fuss about it. But he had, and she'd had to send the child to the servants' hall even before she was out of the Virgin's Bower. It occurred to Prima that now she could reverse that decision.
It's all right to call me Mama here, Simplicity.
Mama? But the Ranger...
isn't here. You may say Mama.
Simplicity ran over, just like the small child she was inside, and hugged Prima clumsily.
I love you, Mama!
Prima patted the girl on the shoulder.
I love you, Simplicity. There now. Go to the kitchen and bring us some lemonade.
Yes, Mama.
Simplicity had always been biddable and sweet. Prima could not help wishing Mitch had appreciated that sweetness more.
Prima?
Prima pushed the needle through her work and laid it aside.
Yes. Come in and have a seat. What is the news?
You could turn on a vid.
Full of nonsense. All that arguing and bad language, too.
Prima didn't mention the other things she found there by accident. Men and women with no clothes on, doing things she had never imagined they could do.
Lord Thornbuckle's funeral was today.
Prima knew that. Everyone knew that. Even with the vid turned off, there was no way to avoid knowing that the Speaker of the Table of Ministers, whose daughter had started all the troubles, had died and was being... not buried, because they didn't do that here, but whatever they called it today.
It was all his fault, really.
Prima wanted to believe that. Wanted to believe that if that one arrogant blonde man had not been so bad a father that his daughter had fallen into captivity, then she would still be Prima Bui, first wife of a ranger, safe and happy in the household she had known, had helped make since her wedding. That was a comfortable thought.
All his fault. And Mitch, the innocent dupe of heathens. Me, an innocent victim. The children. Oh.
Try as she might, she could not convince herself, quite, that it was all Lord Thornbuckle's fault, or even his daughter's, though she loathed the tall, yellow-haired woman.
Prima, I'm sorry, but I really need to talk to you about your plans.
My plans? What do you mean?
Everyone wants to know what you're going to do. About the children's schooling, about supporting yourself.
Supporting myself!
Prima fastened on that. She was not about to discuss sending the children out to one of the heathen schools.
But the Serranos promised protection.
Protection, yes. But there are hundreds of you all told. They can't afford to support all of you. And there are laws about the children, about schooling.
I am not sending my children to some heathen school to be taught violence.
There are religious schools. I brought you a cube.
A cube, which she could access only with a cube reader. A machine. Machines, the Parsons had always said, would make women lazy.
I need to change my name.
Hazel looked surprised.
I'm not Mitch's Prima anymore. Ruth Ann was my birth name, and I should be Ruth Ann again.
Ruth Ann. It's a pretty name.
Sounds strange to me. No one's called me that since my parents, years ago.
Didn't they keep calling you?
No! I was Prima Pardue from the day I married Mitch, and Prima Bowie from the day he became Ranger.
Prima fidgeted a bit, wishing she didn't have to ask what she wanted to know.
Hazel, I never see anyone like Simplicity, even on the vid, when I do watch it. Surely your people have children that turn out not quite right?
Not many. I know you don't like to hear it, but people do tests and medical treatment even before babies are born to be sure nothing is wrong with them. Then, if something happens during pregnancy or birth, they fix it.
Fix it? How can you fix a mind?
I don't know. I'm still young, I haven't finished my schooling, and I never studied any medicine.
Could they fix Simplicity now?
I don't think so. I can ask, but I think they have to be younger. But Prima, Ruth, I mean, there's no need to fix Simplicity. She's a sweet, loving person the way she is.
Your people don't value sweetness. They value intelligence.
There are many places in the Familius where that's true. But there are also many places that will value Simplicity for her gentleness, her kindness. I think you misjudge us. If you want to find a place...
No! I don't want to send her away. That's what Mitch said.
That's what Mitch had done. It still hurt her. That Simplicity had had to endure months in that nursery away from the home she loved.
I didn't mean send her away. I mean go with her to a place where she'd be welcome.
Oh, I can't go anywhere without Ensign Serrano's permission.
You could tell him what you want.
Hazel, you know I can't do that. He's my, well, not husband the way he should be, but he's our protector. It is for him to decide what to do with us.
That's not how it works here. He'd probably be delighted if you found a place where you and the others could be happy.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know where to start.
You could ask Professor Meyerson.
Waltroud? What could she know about other worlds?
She's a professor. Finding things out is what she does best.
Could you explain it?
Prima was much more comfortable with Hazel, even Hazel in men's pants, than with Waltroud in a dress. Waltroud looked at them as if they were carrots and beets and potatoes on the kitchen table, as if she were considering how they would fit in a stew.
If she comes back in time. Prima, one thing I came to tell you. I'm leaving later today. I should be on my way to the ship now. Clearing customs is going to take longer than usual. I'm going back to my family.
Oh.
She had known in a way that Hazel would leave, as the former captive women had left. Those women, she still worried about them. But they had all insisted on going, some to restorative surgery, others with voice synthesizers, back to their families if they had any, or a life of independence that Prima could not imagine wanting.
I'll miss you, Hazel.
You were good to me.
Hazel came to hug her. Prima could feel the girl's young breasts now. Hazel was breeding age, but she would not breed. She would do, might have already done, terrible things to herself so that she would have no babies until much later. She might already be an abomination. Yet Hazel was a good girl, honest, kind, gentle. She had been so desperately worried about the two little girls in the beginning, She had been so sweet to all the children. If she'd been Prima's daughter, Prima would have been proud of her. But now she'd go off to some school or fly on a ship or... Prima could not even imagine all the possibilities.
God's blessing on you.
It went against everything Prima had been taught, offering a blessing to a heathen. She wanted to tell Hazel not to use any abominable technology, but she knew that was futile. The girl was the product of that technology. Her family used it. She would use it too. She prayed silently that God would keep Hazel safe. The chief medical officer touched the display controls and blurred blots of color sharpened into focus.
We now know what happened, Admiral. The Surgeon General's office sent this out by Ansible. In a normal rejuvenation, on the left, the metabolites of the rejuve drugs are each involved in scavenging specific degradation products.
In plain language?
Vita Serrano knew, and knew they knew, what was meant. But she was determined to make them say it in language that anyone could understand. She had already been briefed, very secretly, by Marta Caterina Sines.
The rejuve drugs break down in the body into other chemicals. And those chemicals, metabolites, bind to and remove the chemical compounds characteristic of aging.
Very well.
In a normal rejuvenation, that leaves only healthy, undegraded tissues as a matrix for replication, the second part of the rejuvenation process.
So the first part throws out the old, as it were, and then the second part builds up the new?
Yes, Admiral. But on the right, if you'll look right here, you can see that these tissues, which stain green, are not being removed. No green on the left, and green...
On the right. Yes. And I presume that means that age-deteriorated tissues are left in the matrix when the rejuve proceeds.
Exactly. Which replicate into age-deteriorated tissues, so that after some years, it depends on the amount of deterioration in the original, as well as the exact kind of faulty drug, the deterioration affects brain function like any other senile dementia.
So, how do you fix it?
Unfortunately, we don't know. It appears that if no actual functional degradation has occurred, then a rejuvenation with good drugs produces a fresh start. But when we tried that on one of the first patients, it didn't work. The body rejuvenated to a young age, but the mental function stayed the same. We have been observing him for months now, and while the deterioration has not progressed, it has also not improved.
What about other treatments? Surely you had something for this kind of problem before rejuve.
No, not really. Admiral, I know that nobody likes to hear this. But medical miracles are rarely miracles.
How early can you detect the problem?
Within a year of a bad rejuve, which is plenty of time to correct it. But the tests take weeks. Maybe we can speed it up later, but not yet. And we have a lot of people to test.
What are we going to do with those whose rejuves failed, who've already been damaged? Rejuvenate them to youthful bodies and senility of mind? Who will take care of them? For how long? Or let them die?
Neither horn of the dilemma seemed tenable, and for once Vita was glad that it wasn't her decision. Let the Grand Admiral and the Surgeon General figure it out. The mathematics of equity in this escaped her.